Father God, we thank you for today as we celebrate all that you have given us and we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for. We have just to be looking up and looking above. As we think about what you've given us in Christ, we are rich beyond measure. We do pray for those that have been sick. We ask, Lord, as we contemplate your word, that we do as James calls for us to do, would not be merely hearers of the word and just absorb its content, but to be doers of the word. And so, Father, as we think about listening up before we speak up, we pray for your strength, for your guidance, for you implanting the word in us so that it may come out of us. We ask, Lord, now that you would help those that have been getting treatments for cancer, Jen Collins, Lori Huber, Pam Rafferty, others that Ray Melangowski, we ask, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. We thank you, Lord, for anniversaries of marriages and blessings of birthdays and just the amount of things that we get to celebrate. But we ask, Lord, for those that are dealing with trials and temptations, we ask for your help, for your strength, that life can be hard, but you are good. And so as we think about when we're tempted to despair, that you can lift us up from the miry pit, and that we can sing songs of praise, that you inhabit the praises of your people. So, Lord, we ask for your help now for Lou and for Peggy and for their family as Thanksgiving. We ask, Lord, that Lou could get rehabbed and get back home. We thank you for those that have been healed and recovered from different things, coughs, sneezes, and runny noses, and all those things that we deal with, Lord, in this life. We do pray for great times with family and friends over this Thanksgiving. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen up before you speak up. I wish I could get better at it. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. I know how to golf, or at least I think I know how to golf, but I can tell you how to golf, but I can't golf. And if you know what I mean. So I'm working on it. And I'm sure that all of you know that we all need to work on this piece of being finding the rhythm of God in this message. As we move down the track of life, we have trials from without. They're outside of us. And we have temptations from within. And we can get going down the track and find ourselves under stress very quickly. And if you've ever been married for more than 5 seconds, you don't communicate the same when you're under stress and under things that are causing stress. My wife and I were driving up 19, and a guy flashed his lights at me. I was in my lane that I'm going to turn left into Boyce Road there, and you have to be in the left lane to turn left on Boyce Road. But a guy flashed his lights at me because I was driving 50 miles an hour, and he wanted to go faster than 50 miles an hour, which made me a little bit angry. So we got to the light, and he was going to have to slow down beside me. And as I got up there, I put my blinker on. And if you've ever been to Boyce Road, you know that there's a left turn light there, which was still red. And their light turned green. Well, I'm so focused on him or her or whoever, I was like looking over at him as I'm driving. And Melissa, the only thing she could do is, Jack, what did you say? The light? Did you even say the light? That's all she said, the light, the light, the light. And I, what? Stop! She couldn't get it out. And I'm out in the middle of traffic now. So I had to wait till everybody passed me and humbly put my car in reverse and back the car up out of the middle of the intersection. You've probably never experienced that, I'm sure. But at least maybe not that thing, but I'm a work in progress, and I'm sure that some of us are. When we think about this, whether you're a Christian or not, you experience the temptations from within and the trials from without. And as we go down the track of life, we're going to meet up with those things, and God has given us some help here for all of us that we can put into practice that will help us. Because whether you know it or not, you're going to have to learn how to handle conflict and stress. And the better that we handle it doesn't mean that we can't go through. It's okay to go through conflict and stress, but the way we handle it is important as well, that we need to learn how to handle it. Well, James says this very lovingly in verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." He's talking to believers right now. And he says, "Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to be angry. But for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." So the overall goal of the verse in this verse is the producing of the righteousness of God, because that's what's visible to people, right? We are a witness for God, and that we're to be about the righteousness of God in our life. And so as you think about it, if you think about me, I find myself acting the exact opposite of this passage when I'm facing trials and temptations. I'm slow to listen and too quick to speak and too quick to get angry. I have a short fuse, as some of us like to say. And so we have to be careful. And some of us could be described as maybe hot-tempered or short-fused. And others of us hold it all inside and then become like volcanoes, and we erupt all over people. Anybody around gets out of the way of the lava, right? I mean, you know, my oldest daughter, Meredith, she said, "Don't poke the bear." I mean, I being the bear. And Hannah would always come over and jump on me, you know, when I would be sleeping on the couch. I regret that. I'd love to take all that back and just say, "Oh, I want to hold her now." Now they're all grown up, you know. Well, I read about a man in an office who struggled with anger so much he decided to create a miniature flag pole by his desk in his office. And when he was calm, the flag was green. That meant everything was safe. And when he started to become agitated, he changed the flag to yellow. You know, just in case his coworkers were wondering, what's it look like in there? And so then, and when he was angry, he would quickly change the flag to red. And that meant, you know, forget it. Don't enter in. Wait for another time. And some people have what psychologists have said, that they call it free-floating hostility. They are angry most of the time and feel frustrated with people around them. Or they've learned improper ways of handling anger, or they've learned improper ways of using anger. The Bible does say, be careful when you're around an angry man, lest you learn his ways. And, you know, sometimes we can get in the habit of that. But when we're over people, and the people that are under us, they can have that sense of us that we're angry all the time, and we use that anger to manipulate people, or shut people up, or make people do what they should do instead of leading people in a loving fashion. Think about Jesus. He led lovingly. He led lovingly. Never said he never got angry. He never said that. He did get angry. He said, but be angry and sin not. And so again, James is telling us that the train is leaving the station and that we're going to meet up with these trials and temptations and stressors, and we need God's help to learn the rhythm of righteousness. Well, what's the rhythm of righteousness? Well, here we go. Quick, slow, slow, right? As we come in. I came in too quick. We'll just let it come in. And we get impatient. But he says the rhythm is quick, slow, slow. And Sinclair Ferguson, he compared it to a dance. And have you ever tried to dance with your wife or you're a friend, and they have a different rhythm than you do? I mean, my wife and I, every once in a while, we have to dance at weddings, and people go, "Come on, Pastor Jack, come on, Melissa." And I never get out there and break dance. I leave that for Scott, because Scott will bust the rug. But I'm like, I don't want video of me out there. I just don't, because I'm not that. I used to feel like I could do the Running Man. But I know that it wouldn't look good on film, so I don't do it anymore, and I know people would video me, especially my kids. And I remember back in the school when the gym teacher would have you trying to do a dance with the girls in your class, you know, like square dancing or something like that. But when the dance was going on during the gym class, I would feel very awkward and nervous because I was going to be holding the girls' hands. That made me nervous. You know, my hands are all sweaty because I'm, you know, holding the girls' hand and then trying not to step on their feet. And that was always the goal of myself. And so you have to learn the rhythm until it feels like you can find the rhythm. And so that's what this is, the rhythm of life, and this quick, slow, slow, quick to listen, and then slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So that's the rhythm of righteousness, quick, slow, slow, quick, slow, slow. And that's the rhythm God wants us to do. So the man or the woman of God knows the rhythm of the dance, and James spells it out for us, quick to listen. If we listen to this, if we hear this, if it helps us, we'll try this out on family and friends over Thanksgiving. You're about to gather with those people again. Get prepared now. Pray. Get yourself ready for that experience of the quick, slow, slow rhythm, right? And so that the man or woman of God knows the rhythm of the dance, and quickly we are encouraged to move to the first step. What's the first step? Well, the first step is obviously listening, quick to listen. And so there's the ABCs that they taught us in counseling classes. And I'm like, again, I can tell you how to golf, but that doesn't mean I can golf. Just ask Joe. He can testify to my golf game. And so when we think about being quick to listen, it starts with the A, ABCs, acceptance, not approval. We have to learn acceptance. Acceptance does not mean approve all the time, but change is more likely to happen if the person that you're talking to and that you're in a conflict with feels like you accept them. You have a high view of them. Like my wife and I, we need to understand that we accept and that we're different. We're different. That I am not, I have learned that I'm not going to change Melissa. And I hope that she has learned. I try to change every once in a while, but it never, I got to be careful here. I'll get myself into a box. But she probably tries to change me as well. And, you know, then we, you know, real life happens, you know, and you get into little things. But I have to accept them. And acceptance means, especially in trials and when we're going through intense negotiations, we're to talk to each other. We're to accept one another. She needs to know that I love her unconditionally. And she needs to know that, or I need to know that she loves me unconditionally. And I pray this prayer. I say, Lord, help me to love her the way that you want me to love her. I used to say, Lord, change her. Make her the way I feel like she ought to be. You see, that's a different prayer. But if you're married for very long, you'll give up. The flag of surrender is what you'll put up. Amen? All right, here we go. Guys are on my side here. B is become a good listener. A is acceptance. B is become a good listener. And so listening is tough for some of us. Avoid thinking you already know what the other person is thinking. See, one of the things about us is that if we're type A personalities, you're already form a defense while you're listening. So you don't, you know, or that you've read their mind, you know what they're talking about. And so you're forming the defense, and you're going to just say whatever comes to your mind. You might even interrupt them. So you're not slow to speak. You're kind of like not letting them speak because I know what you're going to say. And, you know, just avoid terms, you know, be careful. Become a good listener. And so don't prepare a response. Listen to what's inside of them. And you cannot truly listen and speak at the same time. It doesn't work. I've tried it, and it's not very helpful. And if you are speaking instead of listening, you can't learn anything. So someone once said, you've got, what, two ears and one mouth. And so we should do is, a good rule of thumb is to listen twice as much as we speak. And so for some of us, we like to talk. And so I get paid to talk. And so, you know, some of us have to be careful with that. And so you have two ears and one mouth, so listen. The last thing is C, couch your statements in I terms rather than you terms. I terms illustrate. You terms, well, let me just say this. You terms tend to make people feel defensive. You're like your mother. You're like your father. Oh, I said that the other day, just the other day, and I got in big trouble for it. It didn't help my situation at all. And, you know, it may be true, but don't say it. I'm just telling you flat out. But you terms make people put up their dukes if they're married. Like, or even in your workplace, if you would learn this, the ABCs of being listening is acceptance, not approval. In other words, you accept who you're talking to. They don't have to feel like that you don't like them. That's not what the goal is, but that you accept who they are as a person created in the image of God. B is become a good listener. Become. In other words, allow yourself to make mistakes, but always work towards learning to become a good listener. And then C, couch your statements in I statements. I feel hurt when you do that. I feel loved when you do that. I often have people give me three statements in marriage counseling. Give me three things that you'd like for your mate to do more of. Now listen carefully, because you're already forming them. And so that you love, that make you feel loved. And so what I have a lot of people, when they come into me, I never say the negative. I don't let them go to the negative. I say, let's keep them positive. You guys are probably, by the time you get to me, there's probably enough negative being said that unless it's really serious, we try to stay away from the negative. I try to work on three things that are positive. And you'd be surprised when you get people, and then I say, here's how you're going to say it. I feel loved when Melissa, let's just make something up, rubs my back. I feel loved when Melissa rubs my back. But there's always a quid pro quo in that. She always wants to, she claims that I always want her to rub my back after she's rubbed my back. But I said, no, I'm not like that. That's the way you are. And see, I got the floor here. I can talk. She can't. And so the thing is that you want to say, I feel loved when you rub my back or whatever. And then the other person, I make them say, I don't want you to defend yourself. Because a lot of times, and then I have to catch the person. Sometimes they'll say, I feel loved when you don't act as stupid. And that's kind of negative, you know. That's kind of negative. That's negative. And you'd be surprised how many people will do that kind of stuff. They'll take the statement, I feel loved when you do this, but, and then they follow it up with a dagger. Boom, take that with you. That's not going to be helpful. That's not helpful. So what I try to do is I get them to reflect back what you heard and say, I feel loved when you know, whatever they said, you want me to do more of X, whatever X is. But they won't, sometimes they'll skip out the feelings. They will not say, I feel anything. I said, wait a minute, you didn't tell us how you felt. How do you feel how does she feel when you do that? How does he feel when you do that? And then you say, and then I turn it around and I go, now how do you feel knowing that? And you know what I hear a lot of times? I've never heard that before. I've never heard that. You see, because we sometimes talk past one another. And so acceptance, become a good listener, couch your statements in I statements, face the person when you're talking to them, make good eye contact. If you're not looking at them, you're probably not listening to them. With the remote, you know, guys, watching TV. Yeah, okay. Doesn't work. I've tried it. Now, so consider your posture. Does it communicate that you're opening to listening, to hearing them, that you accept them, that you're listening to them? In other words, tell your face, right? I'm fine. Oh, wow, really? Tell your face you're fine. You know, your face is communicating something else. Your affect, your feelings, it's coming out. 55% of people, I think the statistic is, believe the facial, what you know, the kind of the tone and the way that you're saying it, rather than what you're saying. Because they know that, you know, we're not telling the truth. Consider your face. Do you have a face of grace? Is it inviting people? Is it making them feel loved and warm? Or is it not a face of grace? Maintain good eye contact and listen actively. That means you're shaking your head, you're listening. Mm-hmm. Okay, not mm-hmm. Not with attitude, right? There's a tone there. But you're listening. And then Larry King observed, he says in Reader's Digest, he's quoted, I never learned anything while I was talking. So be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. And so we're listening, loving, and learning, but one of the we're doing there, the Bible says this in Proverbs 20, verse 5, is that if we're listening to people, we're giving something to them that is wonderful and loving and caring. We're listening to them, but we're loving them for who they are and what God's created them to be. and that we're learning from them. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5. This is a great verse to write down or to know where it's at, because listening is a skill. Norman Wright says, listening is determined by what's going on inside the other person. See, I'm trying to care about them. I care about them enough to hear what's going on inside of them. Again, you're saying, I know how to hit a golf ball. I can tell you how to hit it. I'm not always good at this. So I have to, when I step on my partner's feet, I have to remember to apologize and say, I'm sorry, honey. You know, she's going to say, yeah, he never says that. But we have to try to understand that we're trying to understand them and their needs and not just get our way. And so listening is a skill, and it's what my attentiveness is doing for them. So listening is doing something for the other person. Whether you're a business owner or whether you are talking to people on the street, a good doctor, you've had a good doctor that or a nurse that listens to you, you know what you'll hear people say? He or she really listens to me. They like that. So listening is one of the most loving gifts we can give another person, whether it be a friend or a family member. And so let's listen to the rhythm of it. Be quick to listen. Be swift to listen. Be slow to speak. And so slow to speak, when we think about that, how are we supposed to speak? Well, the Bible tells us some things about speaking. When we're talking to anybody, we should speak the truth in love. Now, some of you are like, well, it's true. And so I went ahead and told her. And so, or I told him. And so, but is it loving? Is it true? And is it loving to say that? And so that would probably help us filter out some of the things that we say to one another. So, because we're trying to listen to them to care for them and their needs, not get our way. And some of us try to speak at the same time. And so if we're upset, we need to let them get their point across, which gives them room, which gives them enough room to be who they are. And love, the word love in that verse is agape love. It's a self-sacrificial love that works for the benefit of the other person, loved one. And so when we're counseling people, we're doing something for them. When we're listening to somebody, we're caring for them. We're communicating that we love them, that we care for them, that we accept them. And so it's acceptance for who they are. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says in the NIV, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful, only what is helpful for building them up. And so I'm good at building up Melissa for my needs, but am I good at building Melissa up for her needs? That's a different question, isn't it? So we have to be slow to speak. So we speak the truth in love. We avoid rudeness and sarcasm, I think, for obvious reasons. Some of you are very good at sarcasm. You're good at it, but I've seen people become playful. But then when you're fighting and you're not feeling accepted, those things become very, they cut after a while. They start making the person bleed out. And over time, rudeness and sarcasm has a degrading effect on the relationship. It starts to separate, becomes emotion. You become emotionally you don't like the person. Say, I love you, but I don't like you right now. And so we have to be careful with that. And so we have to be avoiding that. We have to avoid bringing up past wrongs. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs, right? And so we don't rejoice in that, but what are we good at? We're good at bringing up what they did in the past. And he says, avoid that. Be slow to speak. Avoid rudeness. Avoid bringing up past wrong. Avoid being arrogant or boastful. Love is not supposed to be prideful or boastful and arrogant. And sometimes when we get the other person down, if you've been married for more than 2 seconds, you start to know their weaknesses. You know the other person's weaknesses. Melissa knows my weaknesses. Boy, she knows my weaknesses. Jack, the light. Right? But she's in the car with me. She could have gotten hurt. She was on the side of, if somebody T-boned us, could have hurt her. And so we have to be careful. God's given us something to help us here. And then you know, we're not to be arrogant. We're not to assume that we already know. The rabbis used to say this, that your ears are outward and they're exposed. And there's two of them. And there's only one tongue. And it's walled behind your teeth and the iron bars. So keep your tongue in behind that wall. And so sometimes we have to bite our proverbial tongue, right? We have to be careful. Slow to speak. Don't be so quick. You may be quick, but is it loving? Is it helpful? And is it true? And so be careful with people. So, and then here's one that's a bonus, and I don't have it up here, I don't think. Bringing up too many issues. Some of you are fast talkers. You can overwhelm your spouse with the number of words and ideas and problems that you have with them. And they call it flooding. Flooding, you flood them. And they have no chance. You just get them down. You put them in a headlock. And you body slam them, put them in a figure four, or whatever those wrestling moves are, the MMA. And you're just pummeling them. Boom, 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 boom. You ever watch that? It's like, I feel sorry for those guys that are down there getting just nailed. Or you got to choke them out. You know, like, that's the thing with these young people. They just choke you out. Like, oh, look at that. The guy passed out. Anyways, I could get off talking about that. But don't choke people out. Okay? It's not nice. And they can die. It's, you know, it's hurting them. And so be slow to speak, but don't flood them. Willing to hear the other side. Give them room to share what's on their heart. And so that's what we're doing. So encourage communication that makes the other person feel safe. And don't do these things. Be slow to speak and be loving when you do. The third part is, if you remember what the third part is, be slow to anger. The anger means a wrath. Be slow to wrath. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 18 says, the Lord is slow to anger. Aren't you glad that the Lord is slow to anger? So we have to be careful. Remember, that's what Moses got in trouble for. He got angry. He struck the rock. Then he claimed the power. He said, I'll give you the water. And in your anger, the Bible says, do not sin. Be angry and sin not. And it cautions us in Ephesians chapter 4 not to let the sun go down on your anger. So there is a right time to be angry. It's okay to be angry, but in your anger, don't sin. And so we have to remember that we have Genesis to help us remember that in Genesis, Cain was told by the Lord, he said, why are you so angry in chapter 4, verse 6? Why are you so angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So there's a sense of God putting the onus on Cain. And he's stopping. And the Holy Spirit sometimes says, don't give full vent to your anger. Don't get angry. And don't just let yourself go like that. Be angry and sin not. And he says, sin is crouching at your door. It's contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So we have to remember that, and when we're talking with people, that we don't let anger rule over us. We need to take dominion over it, because a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we have to be careful when we're talking with people. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension. A hot-tempered one commits many sins. So this is where sin has taken over your actions, and you're giving into it instead of taking dominion over it. It's contrary to you, he's saying, as a Christian, it's contrary to what we should be doing. And so we have to remember the rhythm of righteousness, because it doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It's a poor witness. But God will help you if you just ask. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Proverbs 16:32 New American Standard says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." That's a different way of saying it, but it's a good verse to remember. So what do we need to do? What do we need to remember in this rhythm of righteousness? And we talk about being slow to get angry. I think God gives us plenty of help here. And there is a righteous life that we should practice. That's what the main thing was. You remember when James started out? And there's some infrastructure that holds it up. And so as we think about the rhythm of righteousness, if you remember what that was, it was quick, slow, slow. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And realize that ultimately it's to save us from the destructive power of sin. That could have turned out very badly last night. And what would we have felt? I had the ability to back up and start again and to not be stupid. But we have to be careful. And so we have to remember the rhythm of righteousness, the witness of God. And to ultimately realize that God is wanting to save us from our own sin. So if you look down in verse 21, if you have your Bible still open in James, he says, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive." Notice here's what the thing is that we need to receive the word of God that's implanted in you. God has implanted his word into you, and it says receive it. In other words, don't push God out of the way and climb over God to get to your anger, to give full vent to what you feel, the flesh, you know, to go after the wind for your sense of argument or your sense of self. You just push God out of the way and say, "I don't care." You got it, right? We're to accept the word of God, and it's planted in you. And he says, which is able to save your souls. Don't push that out of the way, he's saying. And he says, therefore, he says, there's some things to put on. So you accept God's word, you humbly accept it, you submit to it, you put on and you put away, or you put off. There is a concept in the word of God that talks about put on and put away or put off. And it's like a garment. And your garments are filthy, he says in verse 21. They're filthy and they're filled with rampant wickedness. Put that stuff away or take it off. But put on or clothe yourselves with the right things. Put away the garments that you're wearing. Spiritually, he says, you're filthy, you're wicked. Those things are of wickedness, of filth. And it's like walking out into the room and thinking you're okay, but you've got stuff all over you. He says, put that away. Put off avoidance, going along to get along. If someone's avoiding, they say, "I never say anything to him because it's just too much. He's too controlling." They'll feel like that you're dominant, and they'll avoid you. They'll avoid saying something to avoid the argument. That doesn't help. And so they're avoiding. They say, "Well, we'll just put it in the basement." Well, that's, you know, Adrian Rogers, he was talking about this. This stuff comes right back out of the basement and comes right back in your front door. You know when it hits you? Right in the grill is when it just builds up. You clam up, you blow up. That's an old saying, but it's true. And so you have to put off avoidance. Put off appeasement. That, in other words, we'll just let it go. We'll get along, and I'll never say anything. I'm never going to tell them I want to go on vacation to the beach. I'll just go along. I'll go to the mountains again, or I'll go to this. But that's not a marriage. That's emotionally you're separated. You're just giving in. You're not there. You're not engaging, and that's not a marriage. You need to engage, and you need to be able to speak. And so that cycle of avoid and feeling the other person's dominant, the way to reverse that cycle is when that person starts sharing, "I feel this. I feel loved when you take me to the places I like to go. I feel loved when we watch on something on television that I like, when you watch a show that I enjoy. I feel loved when we take a drive to a place that I want to go to instead of just where you want to go to." Got it? And so we put that stuff away. We get rid of that stuff. Put off appeasement. Put off avoidance. Put off aggression. Don't respond anger with unbridled anger. Don't meet anger with a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so help them. put on the clothes. What kind of clothes are we to put on? Well, Colossians 3:12 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another as if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And so we put that on. Put on the clothes of humility. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he lifts up the humble. That's 1 Peter 5:5. So let me just ask you a question. I'll just cut to the chase because I know that you're thinking about that French toast. So here's the thing. Is that, where's your flag? What color is your flag right now outside your door? Is it green? Everybody can come in. They can talk to you about what they need to talk to you about. Or is it yellow, warning people? Hey, be careful. Watch your step here, bud. Or is it red? Is it red? See, red just pushes people away. And God doesn't want that for the rhythm of life. He wants us to accept the Word of God. And so the Word of God is telling us to dance to a different rhythm. It's confronting the rhythm if we're letting ourselves fall into the habits of the world. And so it confronts us, our flesh. And so flags are banners, and they're visible whether we know it or not, and they say something about us. And whether you know it or not, your face is telling us something. Your way that you're sitting in the house tells us something. The way that you're working beside people, the way that you're interacting with your colleagues is telling us something about you. So your banner is up. And Wiersbe talks about this because James says in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, be doers of the word, not only hearers. Don't just be a Sunday morning, absorb a sermon, go home and forget it. But he says, look at yourself. It's like looking in the mirror, and then if you don't remember what you said and you don't do it, it's like forgetting what you looked like after you left the mirror. And that's verses 22 to 25. He says, but one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed by his doing. So obedience brings blessing. And so we have to understand that the visibility of us, that what people should see is self-control and love for others and a clean life. Listen to how Wiersbe says this. He's telling us the things that are visible, a self-control, a bridled tongue, love for others, a clean life. He says in verse 27 there, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. It's interesting that he talks about that because he's basically saying, don't put on the religious mask. Don't just be a showboat. But be a true Christian, somebody that's walking it like you talk it, and accept the Word of God. Let it be implanted in you. Put on some things, the clothes of humility. Put away the things, the filthiness, the filthy clothes. Take them off. Your mom ever said that to you? Take them off. Put them in the wash. You're filthy. Clean up. And obedience brings blessing in this. And it, in the rhythm of a righteous life, protects us from the destructive power of sin. All right, that's all I got. I appreciate it. I just want to say one thing to you. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Practice the rhythm of righteousness with your family and friends that come over to your table. Hold up the banner of the Lord by being loving, by being kind and forgiving. Accept people for who they are. Accept people for that they've been created in the image of God. You're not going to change them at the table. Don't talk about politics. If you can avoid it, be careful with that. Share the love of Christ this Christmas or this Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about listening up before we speak up, help us to remember these things, to fly the flag, the banner of Christ high, and so that people may see. And that a friend, if you're not a Christian yet, The one thing that all you have to do is trust the Word of God. That's the Word implanted in you, that it's been shared with you. Trust it. Give yourself to Christ. It's not that you become perfect at that moment, that Christ gives you His perfectness. He gives you His righteousness, that He justifies you, and He gives you something that you didn't have before, which is Himself. And so, friend, trust the Word of God that He will justify you and that He will sanctify you. He will conform you. He will give you a new nature, and He will help you. He will yoke up with you and help you walk in the newness of life. You will have the rhythm of righteousness of Christ, and be willing to submit to Him. Turn when He turns. Slow down when He says slow down. Put off what He tells you to put off. Put on what He tells you to put on. My friend, put on Christ first. First and foremost, ask Him that you tell Him that you will trust Him with your life and that you would ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and He will do it. And then walk with Him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now I'll challenge you that if you're married, maybe you put on a slow song and try dancing with your wife. Don't say anything. Just say, I want to dance with you. See how it goes. You know, just do the side-by-side thing, you know? Right here, this is you, right? Don't go like when she's doing this, you know? But practice the rhythm of righteousness this Thanksgiving with all of your family and friends. And be loving, be thankful for all that God has given. Hear the words of the benediction. It comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving. Get some French toast.